let's go ahead and pray and get into the Word. Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning we need fresh hope and new perspectives. Help us to shift our perspectives when we become overwhelmed with responsibilities, God. When we're tempted to become entangled with worldly pursuits. And Lord, when we know that the world seemingly grows darker around us, help us to be a light for you and a messenger of hope to the lost. We're so thankful for your grace as we continually strive to become heavenly minded. You are our hope. You are our love. You are our anchor. So we give you glory this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I am also thankful this morning that I can be a part of a church that never loses sight of reaching the lost. But at the same time, to be in the midst of so many that are reaching out to Jesus, growing in Jesus every week and saying, God, use me. I'm so thankful that we are a church that understands the importance of reaching those that are hurting, those that are confused, those that have the wrong perspectives. But at the same time, saying, Jesus is more than me. Saying, Jesus, I am not where I need to be, but use me. Our Holy Shift series has really been incredible as God has shown us areas in our lives that we needed to shift away from, as well as areas that we need to shift closer to Jesus. Week one, Pastor Ryan said, refuse to settle to our shadow mission. If we're going to become who God has called us to be, we need God and we need people of God. And that's so true. Amen. Week number two, the emphasis was on striving to be outward focused so that other people can see the freedom that you're experiencing. Last week, I highlighted that our belief is the beginning, but true disciples are marked by a continuous and living relationship with Christ, not a sporadic faith that just goes with the wind. And so today, we are wrapping up this Holy Shift series, and I've entitled the message, Opportunity Takes Perspective. So as we understand the opportunity, I want you to tell your neighbor how awesome they are. There's some life being spoken up front here. Love it. Love it. Our circumstances can begin to blind us from His goodness in our own life. Comparison can rob us of godly perspectives, and it can be a thief to our joy. The valley may seem as if God doesn't see our tears or hear our prayers. It may feel as though He has somehow forgotten about each one of us. But what would happen if we could shift your perspective and remember the promises written for you long before you entered the world? What would happen if we could approach different seasons of our life remembering God's character, God's love, God's pursuit of us? I want you to be encouraged this morning that nothing that you go through is wasted. Each season that we face has valley and mountaintop experiences that build our character in ways that are uncomfortable at times. There's no doubt about that. We go through moments that are uncomfortable, they're hard, they're difficult. But we also have experiences in our walk with God that can be refreshing and encouraging and hopeful. So Romans 8:28 just says, remind us how we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And the key to there that I want us to focus on, it says that in all, not in some, not sometimes, but we know that in all things, everything that you're going through, well, I don't understand why this happened. I don't understand why that happened. Scripture tells us that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who has been called according to His purpose. That's so important when we try to gain new perspectives and new ways that God's showing us is understanding that He is in the midst of where we face. And so I have two glasses here that have been filled with water. One is half full and one is half empty. And it gives us kind of a perspective of doing that. Uncertainties and challenges make life difficult, and the glass can seem like it's half full or half empty. By shifting our mindset, trusting in God's plan, and taking a step back, looking at the situation from a different perspective can begin to give us a new focus as if the glass is half full. Because we see in Romans, again, chapter 8, that we know in all things God works for good. In all things. So as we begin to understand how the difference between a half empty and half full is so important. And so your first point today is perspective see obstacles as the greatest opportunity. Perspectives sees obstacles as the greatest opportunity. When we can lean in on God and see the right perspective, we can experience God's presence, His power, His promises, and His peace. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We walk by faith, not by sight. Obstacles that we have are normal. The key to dealing with those obstacles is perspective. In 1 Samuel 17, we've heard these stories before, but David prayed for his flock, but yet the bears and the lions still came. When David saw Goliath, he shifted his perspective to the Israelite soldiers. When the Israelite soldiers saw Goliath, they saw a huge giant. They thought of there's no way that there was going to be any type of opportunity to defeat. It was an obstacle. And yet when David saw Goliath, he shifted that perspective and said, "How can I miss?" See, David used the confidence that came from the training ground of overcoming the danger and overcoming the attacks that he went through. He understood that what he had gone through prepared him to be able to take on Goliath. And when many of us this morning, when we look at your life today, you may be facing obstacles like that problem, that sickness, that financial burden, that lack of growth, that hurt, that frustration, that loss. But when we see our problems as possibilities, we can gain the perspective that nothing is to come up against us that is bigger than what God can handle. Those are holy shifts in our perspectives from seeing obstacles as our greatest opportunities. When we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we see that "for we walk by faith, not by sight." It's an example of how important it is for us to take those steps of faith, even though we may not know what is going to happen after that. I believe that as we walk by faith, it is an opportunity for a breakthrough. I believe that God wants us to be able to know that what you're dealing with, that there can be a breakthrough. And sometimes you have to take that step of faith to have that breakthrough. Sometimes you have to take that step of faith. And like I said during our prayer time, it's that I believe that one step that you take to walk back to the prayer station, to walk back to a prayer partner, it's not the healing that takes place when you're back there being prayed for. The healing begins when you take that first step. When you walk out of your sanctuary, of your seat, in the safety zone, in the comfort zone of your area, and you take that step back there. I believe that when God calls you to make a change in your perspective, and you take that step of faith, God begins to make that work. God begins to work in that on that first step. It may take years. It may take months. It may take days for God to complete that task that he's working on you. But I believe when you take that step of faith, he does that. During these times, we are in God's training school, learning and adapting as we take those steps of faith. Chuck Swindoll stated, "We are all faced with a series of great opportunities, brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. Growing churches have problems. We have problems. We miss the mark. We are imperfect, but the greatest thing that we have is Jesus and each other. God is doing something here at Central because there are individuals that are taking that step of faith and saying, 'God, use me, show me.'" And there are moments that you can stand and you can sit and you can hear and you can listen that you may not see very many good golden nuggets to pick from. But there's a moment in each and every service and each and every day and each and every encounter that you have that God is working in your midst. And the enemy wants you to be confused. The enemy wants you to think that this service today is half empty. Surely they could have gotten somebody better to speak up front than this guy. But can I tell you today that Jesus is our Redeemer and He is our love, and we can look at a glass and say, "It's half full, God." The worship may be a little bit louder. The message may be a little bit longer. But Lord, I know that with you all things are possible, and I believe that you have something special in store for me today. Our obstacles as a sinner are now the greatest opportunities to share Jesus. Our obstacles as a sinner are now the greatest opportunities to share Jesus. As we take this new perspective and begin to make positive solutions, God begins to work in our lives as we gain that new perspective in our walk with God. As we begin a new perspective and a new walk in what God is doing in us and through us here at Central. What is your role? How do you become active? What is it that you need to do as your next steps? Can you see the possibilities as you walk in faith? There are obstacles. I was talking to someone earlier and said, hey, where's so-and-so? He's still sleeping. Obstacle. Obstacle. We all have it. We face obstacles. But God is doing a great thing as we continue to put ourselves in that position. Point number two, opportunities require taking risks. How many of you guys are risk takers? We got a few risk takers. Okay. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Faith. Jesus lived a life of taking risk, and even though the enemy continued to tempt him, continued to tempt him with safety, continued to tempt him with his life, continued to put him in situations that anyone else would be willing to run. Jesus lived a life of taking risk. But faith means going where we do not see and believing what seems to be impossible to believe. So isn't that what faith is all about? Is taking risk? If you are living a life this morning and your faith is humdrum, if your faith is in question of how exciting it is and there's so many other things that seemingly take roles over your faith steps, can I tell you, you're not a risk taker. Or you're going part way. And God says, I want all of you. We read in one of his messages about Esther. And Haman gave an order to have the Jews killed. And Esther inside the palace was warned by her cousin that she should not consider herself safe because of what would take place. But she was willing and she had to take a risk, and she did, and she saved her nation. We've heard the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Everyone around them was worshiping the gold image based on the king's command. But these three Hebrew men would not. The opportunity ahead of them was to bring glory to God, but the pathway to that outcome was fire. It looked like death, but ended with a rescue. They were risk takers. Others were the disciples of Jesus. Peter and John were in prisons because they had performed a miracle. They were brought to the court authorities and warned not to preach about Jesus anymore. They were a risk taker. Even though they were told not to lead miracles, they were still willing to do it. Can I tell you this morning, there's a lot of people in our country and our world that wants to silence Jesus. There's a lot of people in our world today that wants to silence the culture of the church. And the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter and John were brought to the court authorities and warned not to preach about Jesus anymore. But they chose to obey God, not man. Again, in Acts, we find Paul and Silas locked up and bleeding in prison. Again, we've heard the story. This isn't some Carroll County prison. This is a prison that's dark. This is a prison that's dingy. This is a prison that's not safe. This is a prison that's harsh. And again, what do they decide to do? They worship God. If they had been complaining, they would have saw the glass half empty, and they would have missed the opportunity for the chains to be broken. Tell you this morning that we have to be able to take opportunities that are riskful. We have to be willing to be able to maybe share what God's doing in our life to someone else around us. Can I tell you this morning that there are people that are sitting next to you in this church today that may not be here next week? And there are people that were here last week that aren't here this week. Are we taking a risk to reach out to them? To ask where they're at? To encourage them? To help them through the decision of why they're not here? To give them hope? To have influence in their lives because of what God's doing in our life? Can I tell you this morning that sometimes it takes risks to go beyond where He's taking us today? But as we gain that new perspective, we aren't there to just complain and just going through the motions. We are there because we want to be able to see a glass half full. And we want to be able to see God use us in ways that we can't even imagine. It is an exciting time. Number three, seeing people in relation to the potential shapes our perspective. Seeing people in relation to their potential. Can I tell you this morning, again, you have potential. God has created you with potential. Before you were ever born, before you were ever known, God knew you, God knew what you were going to be, and God created you with purpose. The enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, to knock you down, to make you think that you're not somebody that God's created you to be. And we made this, and our world is coming up with all different types of cliches and meanings to take away who you are. But we read in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us." He has the power. How do you see others? Do you see them with potential? Jesus saw people that way. He encouraged them to become who God created them to be. How can we relate to others? And how can we seek to encourage them if we're unwilling to see that? Proper perspective means viewing people in the right way. When you walked in this room this morning, when you walked into church this morning, when you got out of your car in the parking lot, the expectation that we had when we saw you was that there was purpose in that person. That God loves them. That God was willing to die on the cross that they may have life. That you would be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Why? Because God believes in you. The enemy wants to tear you down. The world wants to make you somebody you're not. But God knows who you are. And proper perspective helps us to relate to people and how we can seek to encourage them and help them make a difference in the kingdom of God. People will not join a church if it's cold, stuffy, indifferent, and resistant to change. They will become a part of a church that sees people through the eyes of Christ and seeks to develop their potential. We want you to grow in God because God has ordained that. God wants you to be able to be healthy. God wants you to be successful. God wants you to be able to overcome an obstacle so that you can see the opportunity. God wants you to be a risk taker because He wants you to be able to experience the joy and the love of jumping off the cliff and not knowing what's below. But God, I'm going to trust in You and I'm going to believe in You and it's going to be awesome. God believes. Seeing people in relation to their potential shapes our perspective. God believes in you. Number four, a proper perspective ties the present in relation to God's promises. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies ahead and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on." If we are not careful this morning, we can get stuck in the present. If we're not careful this morning, we can get stuck in the present and not see the blessings of God because we're too concerned about what is happening or what we think is our perspective and the way we think it should be. And we've taken our eyes off of Jesus and formed our own opinion rather than having a new perspective. Paul could have been stuck in jail with a glass half-empty attitude, with self-pity and hopelessness, but the theme of the Philippian letter is joy. Paul was pressing on towards the goal. He's encouraging us to do the same. A proper perspective ties the present, where you are today, in relation to God's promises. What happens in me as I press on is more important than what happens to me. We see that in the risk takers. They were more open to be able to be persecuted and punished because they knew that God was working in them. And because God was working in them, they were able to handle and endure those things that were happening. A lot of times we feel like, well, if I'm going to endure things for Jesus, I don't know if I really want to do that. I don't want to have to go through struggles. I don't want to have to go through battles. But God says, if you will just continue to endure, if you will be there, what happens in me as I press on is more important than what happens to me. Perspective and attitude is that single string that can keep me going or it can make me decide and quit. Perspective can fuel my fire or destroy my hope. When my perspectives are right, no mountain is too high, no valley too deep, no challenge too great that I can't face with the Lord's strength. It's trusting in the promises of God that can speak life to your heart. Praying that God will give you perspective, that real growth can happen in your church. God, this is where I am today. But help me to remember the promises of your word, that you haven't left me or forsaken me, God, that you haven't been there and left me where I'm at. But God, I believe there's something great in store. It's so important for us to have that perspective of understanding the glass is half full versus half empty. The fifth perspective that we have determines your purpose. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to the standards of the world, but let God transform you inwardly. Again, the emphasis here is inwardly. Do not be conformed to the standards of this world. Do not be conformed to the areas of where you're at. Do not be conformed to what's happening around your dinner or around the water drinking fountain or places at work that could cause you to stumble. So do not be conformed to those things. Do not be conformed to the things that you watch on TV just so you want to be able just to relax and blah, blah, blah. Do not be conformed to things of the world. It doesn't say that we cannot be there. It says, but do not be conformed to the standards of the world, but let God transform you inwardly. There's a yearning for something that's happening inside of us as we take that step of faith, as we believe in what God is doing. He begins to work inwardly into us. And then it says, by a complete change of your mind. So he's changing our mind here. Our perspective determines our purpose as he changes us inwardly and changes our mind. And then it says, you'll be able to know the will of God. We talk all the time at Growth Track. It's so important. We have another Growth Track coming up in October. We want you to be a part. Why? Because we want you to know your purpose. But I'm giving you an insight here. Knowing your purpose is by being transformed inwardly and not being conformed to the worldly standards. Because then it says, then you will be able to know the will of God as God works in your life. As you know why God has created you. Romans tells us to replace the view of life we have developed over the years. Many of you are ageless. And you have a lot of tread underneath your tires. And you've experienced many things in your life. Don't allow those things, those views, those opinions, to dictate where you need to go with God. But be willing to take those opinions that maybe have hurt you or handicapped you and allow that new perspective that God's given you this morning. Because the then is clear that it says, then you'll be able to know the will of God. We need the change. We need that change. God, show me. Show me, God, my will. You cannot know or fulfill your purpose in life if you're struggling with submitting to God for a changed heart, a changed mind, or a changed life. It requires surrendering to God's plan for you, to admit that your way is not God's way, that your perspective determines your purpose. I know that God is doing something this morning as we begin to realize that we cannot hold on to the earthly standards that we need to face. We have to abide by them. We have to be in them. But I believe God's called us to make those better, to have the influences of his word into those areas. The sixth thing that we have is Jesus gives us a winning perspective. Jesus gives us a winning perspective. We see this in Matthew chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. We've shared these verses before, talking about feeding the 5,000. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is my desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves and here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Jesus was beginning to do something. Jesus was beginning to have a winning perspective. Jesus understand that that even though they didn't have everything, the glass was still half full. And that he was going to be able to do something. Jesus wanted a time. So in this story, we hear that Jesus had heard that John the Baptist had died, and so he was mourning that loss. He was going through that difficulty. And as he had done all the different types of ministry that day, he decided that, you know, he wanted to get into the boat. He needed a relaxation. How many of us ever need some relaxation at times? Amen. We're all in that boat sometimes. Just in the midst of preparation of the sermon and spending time in it and working through it and spending hours in the office, it finally he's like, "I need to get out and do something physical." Right? I just need to get out and do something to clear my head. Right? Well, Jesus was in this. He went into the boat. He wanted to spend time to mourn and to pray. And so he crossed the Sea of Galilee to find that time. The crowd saw that Jesus was leaving, and they literally were waiting for Jesus when he reached the other side. Can I tell you this morning that the enemy will always try to make you away, will always try to take you away from getting closer to God. The enemy will always try to take you away from getting closer to God. When you spend time in prayer, when you need that 5 minutes just to go off and pray and say, "God, I just need your help, I need your strength, I need your courage," somebody else will come in and try to distract you. The enemy will do that. And we have to understand God's willing and winning perspective. Jesus revealed the depth of his compassion and the power of his perspective by turning no one away. Jesus ministered to their needs. I believe one of the greatest things that we can ever do is to help somebody in need, especially when we don't feel like it, when we take that step of faith and encourage. Before you can give something to someone else, you first have to have it yourself. For us to be able to give the gift of life to somebody else through Jesus Christ and share our testimony, we have to receive it first. In order to be a disciple to somebody else and be there and to encourage them and help them and be that mentor to them, we have to have that in our life ourselves. We have to allow other people to speak life into us. Before we can take that step of faith and do what God's called us to do, we have to have it ourselves. Jesus shows a tremendous perspective in this situation. Jesus issues what seems like an impossible challenge. He tells them to feed the crowd, right? The disciples saw the people as a problem. Jesus saw the potential for the miracle. They saw the people. How are we going to feed these people? This is all we have. The glass was half empty. Jesus saw the potential. He saw the glass half full. He said, "You know what? I think I can do a miracle here." The disciples lacked a winning perspective. Instead of winning, they whined. There was not enough food. There was too many people. It was going to be hard to feed them. And like the disciples, we focus on problems instead of looking for what God wants us to do. We miss the potential that God has waiting for us. We miss the potential. When we walk away from what God's doing in our lives, when we walk away from where God has positioned us to be, when we walk away from maybe a Sunday morning, or again, we don't like something, we didn't like what we heard, or whatever the case, when we walk away from that, we miss the opportunity to have potential in people's lives. God wants us to be able to be there so that we can have the opportunity to hear from God, to be there with them, to encourage them. We lose our focus on the things that really matter, and we forget that sometimes God just wants us to stretch. Now, I just turned 25 just a few weeks ago, and I can tell you that I still have to stretch. Is that a stretch lie? Oh, sure. I've been married for 36 years this coming Tuesday, so you can put that into perspective if I'm saying that right. But we all have to be stretched. And if you're a runner, if you've been an athlete before, you know what the importance of stretching is. And the younger you are, the less you have to stretch to get to where you need to go. But when you face the battles, when you face things that you're enduring, we always think of the fact that God's, you know, doing this against us. Sometimes God wants us to stretch through that. He wants us to be discipled through that. He wants us to grow through that. I remember when we were married, we had financial problems. It was a struggle. Our daughter was a diabetic at 4, and we didn't know how we were going to pay for the diabetic medicine as well as the food on the table and so on and so forth. Daycare and all those things. It was a struggle. It was hard. God was stretching us. And sometimes we don't do it perfect, and sometimes it's hard and difficult, but God stretches us. And he wants us, to continue to understand that the glass is half full, that you can make this, you can do this, you have potential. Trust in my promises. Don't give up. Keep going. And then he brings people alongside of you and encourages you and helps you. And sometimes you're in the desert all by yourself and you have nowhere to go. God, where are you? And in those moments of being stretched and not having anybody around you, not supporting you, not helping you, you fall to your knees and say, God, not my will, but your will, we talked about last week. Show me, God, your love and your presence in the midst of where I feel like I'm alone. Help me to see where I'm at, that I can be a difference maker in my walk and my family. God wants to stretch you this morning so that you may find that perspective, that you may find that God that loves you. God can and will use the resources that we have for his kingdom to do the miracle that only he can. We just have to be willing. We just have to be willing to hold on. We have to be willing to say, God, I want to be able to be focused on you. I want to be focused on what you can accomplish. Because the key of this is not what we can accomplish, but it's what he can accomplish. And everything that we do, again, as you came in these doors, our goal was not that we would put on a great show, that we'd have the greatest worship team, which we do. But the whole purpose of what we do is because we want you to be able to see God work, and we want you to be able to see how much God loves you. We want you to know how important God is in our lives, and be able to express that to you. A winning perspective is focused on what God can accomplish, not what we can accomplish. We can do things on our own. We can take what we just read in our devotions. We can take this message and we can live on it for a little while. But God wants to continually, daily speak life into you as an inward capacity to help you through that. Well, I don't know what the Bible says. You know, sometimes just falling on our knees is all we can do. Sometimes it's just being there for somebody. But God wants us to be able to allow him to do that divine work in us. When we are faced with challenges, we need to follow the example that Jesus had said and go. Go to God. And so as we close today, an opinion is a personal view or belief, while perspective is a particular way of looking at or understanding something based on our background, experience, or position. And so each one of you have been given a magnifying glass as a token. And this magnifying glass, as wonderful as it is, I want it to be a token for you to sit on your desk, to sit on your dresser, to sit in your cup holder, and say, God, I want to be able to see you. God, you're a long ways away from me, God. And I need for you to be closer. I need for you to be closer in my life. God, I want to know every detail, every understanding that you want me to do. God, I want to be able to know how to face the obstacles and have the possibility of seeing your promises. God, I want to be able to be a risk taker. God, show me that risk in my faith that you want me to do. God, show me where you want me to make a decision. What color do I want in my house? God, show me. Show me, God. God wants you to be able to know. And so as I ask the question, has the obstacles you face caused your perspective to miss the opportunity God has for you? Are you tired of trying to just get by in life? What will you allow to drive your life? Are you going to look at the potential and the purpose that God has created you to be, to go after that and say, God, I want to be used by you? Do you want to achieve your destiny? Do you believe that Jesus promises to be where you are? Or will you let your failures rule you, your pleasures rule you, or will you have the willingness to say, God, I want to know. I want to know you, God. I want to know my place. God, there's an eternity in heaven that's coming. And one day you are going to return, God, and I want to be ready. I want to have a true perspective of you. Or have you lost that sight of eternal and only thinking about yourself, only thinking of temporary things? So do you believe that God can do amazing things in your life and the life of the church? Do you believe that it's never too late to do the great things for God? The choice is ours. The choice is ours in the decision that we make. To ask God, is that glass half full in my life, or is it half empty? Am I pessimistic or am I optimistic? God, help me to magnify myself. Help me to magnify where you are in my life.